Legislative session wraps up in Indianapolis, the short session this time around. We know that's a very busy part of the late winter, early spring. Well, what were some of the takeaways we should be following from the chamber side of things? How were you pleased with how things got along at the state capitol back in March?
Thanks. So I think our view was it was a very productive session, and you know, our key priorities for 2024 involved the state's talent pipeline and workforce issues. And we're really excited to work with legislative leaders and the governor on those priorities around career readiness training, childcare, which is, you know, a barrier to workforce, and reading.
Those are all very important things, and you can almost, if you make a list, as I was doing there, you can see how they're all connected as well. And I think early childhood education and making sure that everybody's on the same page, we don't want to retroactively train a workforce, do we?
No. And I think, you know, this gets to the Indiana Chamber has put out a economic vision plan, Indiana Prosperity 2035, that talks about the key areas that the state needs to engage on to make sure that we can continue this economic growth and prosperity for Hoosiers and their enterprises. And one of those, you know, those top two areas are workforce and education. And to your point on education, that early education is really important. And this year in the legislative session, the legislature took action around reading and making sure that there is early intervention support and resources and a plan to make sure that kids are reading. I mean, I believe it's 1 in 5 Hoosier adults lacks the, you know, basic reading skills, and that starts at an early age, and we want to do everything we can to support Hoosiers and the state in addressing those issues.
Well, and the other part of it as well is if you need more people in the workforce, but if there's nowhere to drop your kids off for the day or the morning or the afternoon, that reduces perhaps some employees that you already have in place that don't need some extra training. How important is it for childcare and some relief in that department moving forward as well?
Yeah, you raise a really important question. I think increasingly when we hear from businesses and employers about workforce issues, it is a broader definition of workforce, and it is really addressing some of those barriers to workers getting to work, right? And one of those is childcare. We hear stories about not having access to childcare providers for your kids, or it being, you know, really expensive and not being able to afford it. And so to the extent, you know, the legislature took action on some different bills following from some summer study work that looked into this issue to think about how the state rulemaking process can be streamlined while still being really cognizant of the safety standards and whatnot that needs to be met, but how we can address child care provider supply, and then also how can we provide resources to child care workers to using existing grants to make sure that they can afford child care for their kids to be able to go to work. And those are just two examples of some of the issues that were contemplated and addressed this year.
Yeah, we all want our children to be safe, but sometimes not everybody can afford to jump through all the hoops to make them safe. And I'm not saying we should sacrifice safety for any way, shape, or form, but there are some laws of common sense perhaps we could compromise on a little bit as we move forward. What has made Indiana so competitive, whether it's in the Midwest, whether it's in the five-state circle or the ring? How do we stay on top of that, Vanessa, and make sure companies are coming this way and more jobs are coming with them? Does that start with the legislator and the tone they set?
I mean, I think I view it as an all of the above approach. I'm very big into working together and collaboration and teams. So I think it takes the legislature, it takes the governor, it takes businesses, it takes community organizations, it takes the whole state And I think that, you know, one of the reasons that Indiana has been so successful is that collaboration across all the different stakeholders in the state to really make sure that Indiana puts its best foot forward, whether it is thinking about our, you know, the tax environment, the regulatory environment, the, you know, investment in innovation and entrepreneurship, the exciting announcements that the state continues to make around new business coming to Indiana. And, you know, from a quality of life perspective, it is, and I can say this myself, it's a great place to raise a family, right? There's so much going on, you know, across the state, whether it's in Indianapolis and some of the exciting sports things or other conventions and activities that we have going on here to, you know, getting all to all four corners of the state and experiencing all that Indiana has to offer.
Yeah, and it's a great place to live, great place to work, great place to raise a family, as you mentioned. Vanessa Green Senders is the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. So at the end of this session, you guys, is it the annual report card you put out of things you like, things you'd like to see more activity on? I know next year is the budget session, and that's a whole different set of circumstances. But what can you get done between now and then? Are you excited about the direction it's moving?
So, yeah. So no time to rest. We are already right. Thinking about, as you say, 2025 and planning for next year. We're excited about, working with all stakeholders and the new governor and the legislative leaders on what are those economic policy priorities that are going to help the state continue to be prosperous. And so given, to your point, you mentioned it's going to be a budget session next year. I think that taxes will be something that is obviously discussed. And so are there additional things that we can be doing in the tax space to continue to keep Indiana super competitive in the Midwest and across the country when it comes to getting business to come here and stay here and provide that growth that all Hoosiers want to make this the best place to be?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's a full program, because you can't just pick and choose a couple things. It really has to be a little bit from every category. People want to work where they're comfortable. They want to work where they can have childcare. They want to have their kids to have a good education. They want to have good employees. Yeah, it's not easy, is it? Nobody said it would be.
No, but if we work together, I think we can get a lot done. And I would say that, you know, we are focused over the coming months of really connecting with other, you know, our local and regional chamber partners and other stakeholders, the legislative leaders, talking to the, you know, once the new governor, once the election happens, kind of figuring out where we can work together, right? And how we can move some of these economic-based policy priorities forward.
The first woman president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce is our guest this afternoon, Vanessa Green Senders. And with the election coming up, May primary and obviously November election, plenty of gubernatorial candidates. Tell our audience how you either get involved or don't get involved. Do you endorse anyone as a chamber? How does that work from your end? I know that you have advocacy in other matters. How does it work when it comes to candidates?
So we do not endorse in the gubernatorial, but, you know, as I said, like we look forward to working with whomever emerges from the election. And so we are having conversations across the board to make sure that we hear about the candidates' priorities and we share our thinking about our Indiana Prosperity 2035 plan and some of our ideas so that we are in a good position to work with that governor candidate once the election happens.
There you have it, folks. So no, there is not a endorsement coming or anything else. It just doesn't work that way. Well, April is here, and we've got a busy event coming up. You do at the Indiana Chamber at the end of the month, and then in early May you have another one, because I know the best places to work in Indiana, that's always a big celebration. That comes up in the first week of May, but the 60th Annual Human Resource Conference is coming up at the end of April.
Yes. We, again, no rest around here. We are always trying to, you know, you mentioned the HR conference. That is an opportunity. That is one of our business education events that we hold conferences on a variety of topics, wanting to make sure that businesses and our members across the state have access to resources and information about best practices and what they need to know in certain topics. And so the HR one is coming up at the end of April, and we encourage businesses to participate and come join us. And the Best Places to Work event in May, that is, I am looking forward to being part of my first one. And my understanding is I think we have a record number of winners, which is really great, and I think speaks to, again, how great a place Indiana is to work and live and operate a business, because we have so many great examples of best places to work in the state, and we are looking forward to showcasing that and continuing to get more businesses on the list every year.
And if you are a business owner listening to this program, what are the advantages? We know, we talked to my great friend Eric Spoonmore, who's the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, every other week. Joining the state Chamber of Commerce, how is that advantageous to business owners?
So, well, that is great. Eric is wonderful. I'm actually will be in Bloomington on Friday for some events, and I'm getting to sit down with Eric too. So I think our partnership and relationship with the local chambers is really important and gets back to just working together. We get so much more done. So that's very exciting. And I think I would say for the state chamber, look, we represent businesses across the state, so we have that statewide perspective, and I think can offer that, you know, advocacy support, right? Engaging at the state house and just with state agencies and the governor on issues that matter to business. As I said, we offer lots of compliance and business education events. We are engaged on the political level in the kind of legislature and legislative races. And we, you know, back to our economic vision plan and kind of thinking about from an economic standpoint where the state needs to go, really want to continue to lean into our role as that economic thought leader and convener, working with partners across the state to continue to move Indiana forward. So lots of reasons to get involved and be part of, you know, the business community at the state level and all these exciting things that we're advocating for and supporting. And we want to also do our part to provide the resources that businesses need to be successful, whether that's in the workforce space or the wellness space or business education. So lots of different things.
Absolutely busy times. Vanessa Green Cinder is the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, NCAA first and second round basketball, the NIT semifinals and finals, the high school class A, 2A, 3A, and 4A state champ. A lot of hoops going on, but this will also be your first Eclipse in charge. How excited is everybody? I know the line of total, I have to have this all figured out by next Monday. I'm going to be lost, but I've got my glasses. I'm ready to go. How's everybody doing up there?
Well, I think we're ready to go up here. I was just discussing, my six-year-old was asking me last night, do we have glasses, Mommy? How are we watching the eclipse? So we are getting ready and very excited about it. But look, I think it's a great opportunity for the state, too, to continue to showcase all that Indiana has to offer to both people within the state and more broadly. I've heard lots of examples from our local and regional chamber partners about different things that they're doing and how many visitors they think that they're going to attract, which I think is great. And obviously just making sure that everybody knows where to go and what the safety and public public safety routines are, because it is it will be something that we haven't experienced in a while. So, lots of exciting things going on here.
Put your glasses on. Keep your glasses on. Yes, everybody, exactly. please be safe. Well, welcome to Bloomington on Friday. I hope you have a great time in our city and get to meet some of our great folks here as well. We always appreciate your time, and I'll get caught up with you either right before or right after your big close to April and beginning of May. I don't want to jump in when it's too busy, but we have to get through this eclipse next week. Oh my gosh! And then yes. we have the little 500 here in Bloomington. Then you'll have the big 500 month of May, and there's always something going on.
Yeah, and you got to watch all those basketball games. I know my husband is an ISU grad, and we will be taking in the ISU game tomorrow night. So, yes.
We do have some Trees fans down here as well, and they are all, well, a few of them I know are heading up there. They got their tickets right when they went on sale, so some very exciting times. And then the folks up north, I'm not talking about Purdue today. I'll let them have their moment. We'll get to that at some point in the program. Vanessa, thank you so much for your time, and have a great visit to Bloomington, and we'll get caught up with you later in the month.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.